Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Diego Girau, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. We'll have the news, we'll have sports, we'll have the DX supplement of every week, produced by Arnaldo Slain, with interesting, useful information for the Xers, shortwave listeners, radio hams, radio enthusiasts around the world, a classic feature of our station that gives us great pleasure to bring over and over again every week on the airwaves of RAE. It's tradition and we are very happy to observe it and to keep it. We'll also have something from our 2024 archives, one of the best chats that we had in this studio with Nicole Felter, a former American expatriate who became an Argentine citizen. She's married to an Argentine and started a very popular TikTok and Instagram account called Yankee en Argentina, or Yankee in Argentina, in which she talks about the cultural differences between the US and Argentina. We had a very lovely talk with her when she visited our studio back in August during a brief visit to Argentina. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrae@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way is okay for sending reception reports if you are a DXer. This show airs via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet and our app for mobile devices that you can download for free. The app is called Digital RAE and is available for both Apple and Android phones. We are now ready to get started with the news. These are the headlines. The government of Javier Milei congratulated Trump on his inauguration and reaffirmed its alignment with Washington. Panama's president rejected Trump's announcement about reclaiming the canal. The Colombian government declared an emergency over guerrilla violence in Catatumbo, with over 100 dead. Argentina's trade surplus in 2024 was the highest in history, according to official figures. Sports: Costa Rican Keylor Navas joins the Argentine Football Championship. And these are the news. The government of President Javier Milei congratulated Donald Trump on his return to the White House. In a statement, the Casa Rosada wished the Republican leader the best in his second term, and it reaffirmed that from this new chapter, Argentina's commitment to aligning with Washington will continue and deepen. Mr. Milei was one of the guests at Trump's swearing-in, alongside Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni and Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. The Argentine president also celebrated Trump's return to power with a series of posts on X. "It is a historic moment for the United States and for the entire free world," Mr. Milei said in his post. "Those of us who defend life, liberty and the property of all human beings are happy," the Argentine president added. In his message, he also said, "May God bless Argentines and Americans and let the whole world know everything is going according to plan." It's worth mentioning that the head of state also attended the evening gala celebrating Trump's inauguration in Washington, and there he met with the new U.S. Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, with whom he exchanged a few words. The president of Panama, José Raúl Mulino, rejected Donald Trump's announcement about the canal. In a statement, the Central American president asserted that the interoceanic passageway is and will remain Panamanian. The message was published minutes after the new US president declared that Washington would reclaim the canal. It was a gift that should never have been made, the Republican said in his inaugural address. We gave it to Panama, not to China, which is now operating it, the new US president remarked. The Colombian government declared a state of internal commotion due to guerrilla clashes that have already left more than 100 dead, according to various sources. President Gustavo Petro also declared an economic emergency in the affected area, Catatumbo, in the country's north. In this region, the National Liberation Army, the ELN, is fighting dissidents of the disbanded FARC, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. The rebel groups are clashing for control of the area, according to the press. In addition to these deaths, there have been over 11,000 displaced people, according to official estimates. Many of them are relocating to cities or even crossing the border to escape into Venezuela. In this context, President Petro accused the ELN of committing war crimes, and because of the conflict in Catatumbo, the president suspended peace negotiations with the guerrilla group. According to official figures, Argentina achieved the highest trade surplus in its history in 2024. This is reflected in a report from INDEC, the National Statistics Agency. According to this source, trade showed a positive balance of nearly $19 billion last year. This reversed the nearly $7 billion deficit that marked the end of 2023. According to INDEC, exports last year generated more than $79 billion in revenue. The majority of these sales were made to Brazil, which accounted for 17% of the total. Meanwhile, imports amounted to nearly $61 billion. And now, sports! The Estadio Único de La Plata, the single stadium of the city of La Plata, will now be able to host matches of Argentina's national team, and this comes as a result of an agreement between the Buenos Aires provincial government and the Argentine Football Association to refurbish the also known as Diego Armando Maradona Stadium, an accord that has come into effect this week. Thanks to this deal, it will also be possible to organize Copa Argentina matches and continental tournaments such as the Copa Libertadores or Sudamericana there. Meanwhile, Keylor Navas will join the Argentine Football League. The Costa Rican goalkeeper, formerly of Real Madrid and PSG, will be one of Newell's Old Boys' new additions, according to sport media. Meanwhile, according to the Brazilian sporting press, Neymar Jr. will return to Santos as he will no longer play for Al Hilal of Saudi Arabia. The Brazilian national team's number 10 is expected to return on loan to this team from São Paulo State, which he left 12 years ago to go to Barcelona. And these were the news on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE, Argentina 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentin.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the Welt.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
And music time now. It's going to be a huge hit from the year 1993. I remember it. I was 15 back then, and this song was a smash. If it wasn't the biggest hit of the year, it was certainly one of the top three. Sin Documentos, No Documents, by Los Rodríguez, the band founded by Andrés Calamaro, an Argentine musician in Spain, that included Argentine musicians and Spanish musicians. Was first a success in Spain, and then it became a success in Argentina, and then the rest of Latin America. This is certainly one of their biggest hits, and it was a huge hit in the year 1993. Sin documentos, no ID cards, no passports, no documents.
Ahí vamos.
Now it's time for the DX supplement, produced by Arnaldo Slaen, that we bring you every week with information with hearings that you may use to tune in on certain stations from around the world. It's a pleasure for us to bring you this content that has been on the airwaves of RAE for literally decades, and it's produced by Arnaldo Slain. Let's begin with a hearing from Ethiopia. You can tune into Radio Oromia on 6030 kHz, around 3:30 UTC time. The broadcasts originate from Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia, and are in the Oromo language. Additionally, Radio Fana from Ethiopia can be heard on 6110 kHz, around 2000 hours to 2030 UTC time. However, it is recommended to try tuning in at approximately 400 hours UTC time, as this time slot offers better reception from South America. A notable clandestine station targeting the Horn of Africa region, a region marked by conflict, as you may know, is The Voice of Fano, broadcasting in Amharic to Ethiopia on 15,215 kHz, from 1700 hours to 1815 UTC times on Wednesdays and Saturdays. These transmissions are now officially listed in the HFCC and are managed by Radio Miami International, RMI. They originate from the TDF transmitter site in Issoudun, France, with 500 kilowatts of power. Though on the air since May 1st, 2024, the HFCC indicates a change in broadcast days to Mondays and Thursdays. We encourage listeners to explore transmissions from new DX countries, taking advantage of relay centers established by major shortwave stations. One example is The Voice of America, the VOA, that has a relay in Moepeng Hill, Botswana, which operates on 4930 kHz at various times, including 1630 UTC time and 0500 hours UTC time. Now we'll share some highlights that were extracted from the Asociación Española de Radio Escucha, the AER. Let's mention first World Christian Broadcasting, transmitting from Madagascar, two daily Spanish language programs targeting South America between 0200 and 0300 hours UTC time and between 0300 and 0400 hours UTC time, both transmissions on frequency 6180 kHz. Reception reports can be sent to info@worldchristian.org. Next, Radio Nacional da Amazonia in Brazil, broadcasting daily in Portuguese on 6180 kHz and 11780 kHz, with 250 kilowatts of power. Reception reports can be confirmed via electronic USL at ouvidoria@ebc.com.br. Now, let's report on KBS World Radio, transmitting from South Korea with a new Spanish broadcast schedule. Between 0100 and 0200 hours UTC time, they broadcast on the frequency of 11,880 kHz for South America. Between 0200 and 0300 hours, the frequency is 15,575 kHz for North America. Between 11 and 1200 hours UTC time, the frequency is 11,795 kHz, targeting South America. Between 1700 and 1800 hours UTC time, the frequency is 9,740 kHz, and the targeted area for these transmissions is Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. Reception reports for this station, KBS World Radio from South Korea, can be sent to Spanish, well, or depending on the language, but in this case Spanish, at kbs.co.kr. Next, we've got Radio El Cairo from Egypt, of course. Daily Spanish broadcast from 0:45 UTC time through 0:200 hours UTC time can be heard on 9900 kHz with a power of 100 kilowatts, targeting Europe and South America, though modulation quality is poor. The Spanish section encourages reception reports at Radio El Cairo Espa at yahoo.com. And finally, Bible Voice Broadcasting from Canada. Spanish religious program La Palabra de Vida, The Word of Life, is aired every Sunday from the Nauen transmitter in Germany from 1830 through 1900 hours UTC time on 6150 kHz, targeting Western Europe and the Americas. The broadcast uses 125 kilowatts, and reception reports can be sent to mail at bvbroadcasting.org. And this marks the end of this week's edition of the DX Supplement, which is produced by Arnaldo Slaen. If you have reception reports for us, send them to qslrai@gmail.com, and that will be all for this week's edition of the DX Supplement. Kind 73s.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina 面向世界.
RAI,
Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
Now we're going to have a little bit of tango on the airwaves of RAI, and this is a personal favorite of mine. Not just the rendition, but the song, and in particular, the theme. This is a classic topic, a classic theme in tango music, which is the journey of life, the journey tango characters have in their lives. This is very typical at some point in life. These characters get disappointed with life, and after traveling or having loads of affairs and love stories, they realize that they want to go back home. They want to get back the neighborhood where they were raised, to the happiness of those old times, and leave behind the city lights and the nightlife, and go back to the arms of their mothers and their parents, and go back to their folks' home. This is something that you can find on many tango tracks, this journey. No? You grow up, and then you have experiences, you go around the world, but then eventually you realize that what you want is to go back home. This is what this song is about. La casita de mis viejos, my parents' house. Perhaps the best rendition of all, that of the late Uruguayan singer Julio Sosa.
Tranquilo de mi ayer, en un triste atardecer, a tu esquina vuelvo viejo, vuelvo más viejo, los años me han cambiado, y en mi cabeza nieves grises ha dejado. Yo fui viajero del dolor y en mi andar de soñador no fijé mi mal de vida. Pues cada beso lo borré con una copa. Las mujeres siempre son las que matan la ilusión. Vuelvo vencido a la casita de mis viejos. Cada cosa es un recuerdo que se agita en mi memoria. Mis 20 abriles me llevaron lejos. Locuras juveniles, la falta de consejos. Hay en la casa un hondo y cruel silencio. Un año y al golpear como un extraño me recibe el viejo criado. Habré cambiado totalmente que el anciano por la voz tan solo me reconoció. Solo a mi madre la encontré, de la puerta la llamé y me miró con esos ojos. Con esos ojos nublados por el llanto, como diciéndome por qué tardaste tanto. Ya nunca más he de partir y a su lado he de vivir al calor de esta otra vida. Solo una madre nos perdona en este mundo, es la única verdad, es mentira lo demás. Vuelvo vencido a la casita de mis viejos, cada cosa es un recuerdo que se agita en mi memoria. Mis 20 abriles me llevaron lejos, locuras juveniles, la falta de consejos. Hay en la casa un hondo y cruel silencio, huraño y al golpear como un extraño me recibe el viejo criado. Habré cambiado totalmente que el anciano por la voz tan solo me reconoció.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina 面向世界。
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Okay, folks, a couple of weeks, months ago, I can't remember exactly, we talked on the phone with Nicole Felter, a former, well, actually on and off, American expatriate in Argentina, who started a TikTok and Instagram account that became quite popular, Junkie in Argentina. It was a great talk with her. And back then...she told us that she was going to come over to the country during our winter, or the western, the northern hemisphere summer, and I invited her to come to the studio. And fortunately, she's now here. Huh? She has been true to her word. Welcome, Nicole.
Well, oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
No, it's a pleasure. Finally, it's always better to talk face to face.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, Nicole, you freshly arrived. Just got back to you say got back to Argentina? I like to say what expression you use. Return to Argentina? Do you you obviously feel partly local? What do you say? I'm returning to Argentina. I'm going to Argentina. What do you say?
No, I say I'm coming home.
I'm coming home. Wow. So what's the U.S. then?
Home, too. Home, yeah. It's complicated. I think when you're a foreigner who finds your place in the world in another country, they both kind of become home.
Exactly, One is your first home and then is your adopted home.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. Well, how are you feeling?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
You look elated.
No, my gosh, I feel like I could cry in every moment. I'm just so happy walking around the streets, seeing everything. Just, I'm so happy.
Great. This is the first 24 hours since you got back, and you don't look tired at all.
No. I couldn't waste any time sleeping.
Yeah. It's might be the adrenaline of the happiness. So well, one of the things I checked out, and I say this is totally spot on your social media, the fact that you announced your return and you were able to arrange a meeting on the very same day with very good attendance.
I could not believe it. It's funny, I was talking about this yesterday, how in the US, you know, I've been in the place where I visited the US after living in Argentina, you know, so being in Argentina for a year, going back, and especially in a small town where everyone is still around. To be honest, I feel like people in smaller towns don't have as much of an agenda as people in the city do, right? Mm-hmm. Just because there's a lot more to do,
of
right?
Course, yeah.
And so the thing I've noticed about when I went back to the US and now coming back to Argentina is, I think in the US, one, you have to plan ahead and let people know ahead of time that you're coming to visit, so they make space in their calendars, mm-hmm. right? To say, okay, I'll be there, let me know one day. And I've had situations where it's like one big gathering of like 20 people at once, and then you don't really see them again, maybe, right? Because it's like, okay, I did my task of visiting you while you were here. It was great to see you. I saw you the one time.
I can cross off that list and move on to the next task.
Yes, and when you visit again, I will see you again. Just let me know a month ahead of time. And it was incredible because, yeah, yesterday I didn't have any plans with my friends. I was making plans with one friend, and I said, hey, why don't we just invite everyone? So I just sent out messages at like 3:30, and I was like, does anybody want to get together tonight?
How many people showed
up? At 8:30, like 7 people.
That's a great gathering.
And they're not from the same friend group. They're all different friends. Like,
because it's a good occasion. I mean, somebody's coming back to the country, is coming to the country. You make space. You're telling me that doesn't happen in the US? There is no spontaneity?
No, it's not that there isn't spontaneity. I think that there is, but I think it's a deeper level of friendship. It's like, you are coming, I want to see you, I really want to be there and be in your presence, and I will drop everything.
Yeah,
where I think in the US it's like, okay, let me know a few weeks ahead of time so I can make sure I don't make any plans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a fundamental difference. And honestly, it's just very, I was very, very excited. Like, just so happy because, you know, that's just something that never happened for me in the US. And so,
That's true. People drop things too. And sometimes they exaggerate with that. They exaggerate with that because you may be expecting that. That's all. I mean, let's talk about everything. You may be organizing something. You're counting on some friends for a football game. So suddenly, a friend came from the U.S. Sorry, I had to go. It may be true. It may be false, but that happens all the time. Spontaneity works both ways, for the good and for the bad.
That's true. That's what my friend said yesterday too. He said, no, I have other plans, but nope. I said, no, I gotta drop everything.
Somebody suffered for
here.
somebody playing a football game or a dinner or going to a movie or something. Somebody suffered for your arrival. Well, somebody paid for that.
Well, I appreciate their suffering.
well, great. So great talking to you. Well, you spent now you're currently based in the US, mm-hmm. East Coast. And well, I've been seeing on your account, on your Instagram account that I recommend everybody to check out. It's called Yankee in Argentina. You describe a lot of things about the US to Argentines. Mm-hmm. No? You explain how things work. You bring down some myths that many Argentines have about what's the Northern Hemisphere life or the First World life or what. What can you tell me some of the top elements or top questions or the most interesting posts of these past few months in the US for Argentines, the ones that had the most impact?
I think first, and I think it's interesting getting to see it from my husband's perspective, right? Because I grew up in the US. So living here and people asking me things, I know that there are certain things that people wanted to know about.
Yeah.
But getting to hear things that surprised my husband was an interesting perspective for me, right? And so, like, the things that we've talked about is just the cost of living in the US is so high. I think when you're living in Argentina, and I think a lot of times in Latin America, people say, oh, you know, you're going to the US, it's going to go great, like, you're going to make so much money, there's so many opportunities. And while that can be true, it's not as easy as it seems on the outside, right? Because I think, of course, you can make a lot of money. If I was a single person and had no kids, I could, of course, have my job and then a second job. And yes, I'm making a lot of money. But I think otherwise, when you're working a full-time job, when you have kids and you have a family, it's very, very expensive.
Of course,
I'll say,
yeah.
Like, now they came out to say that in the U.S. now, if you have two children in daycare, it costs more than rent or a mortgage.
The daycare?
Mm-hmm, for two kids. It's just the cost of living.
Isn't there a public option like we have here?
No. No public options. So basically, all daycares are private. You do have some that are called Head Start that are, I guess they are public, but you still have to pay. But it's a reduced cost.
Yeah.
But it's for people under a certain poverty line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
under the poverty line.
You need to be below a certain level of income to qualify for that benefit.
Correct. And so I would say, you know, like, I think that's just been really eye-opening, just throwing out some general numbers, no? Like, rent, living close to a city, can go anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a month, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then childcare can range for one child, it can be $1,200, $1,500, $1,600 a month.
Mm-hmm. What were the comments of Argentines when you were informing that?
They couldn't believe it because, I think here you just have a lot more options in terms of support for childcare, right? And like being able to afford care outside of childcare.
Yeah. It's a series of factors and variables. I mean, you have to take everything into account when you make the equation, because if from the point of view of many Argentines who idolize or think of the US or Europe as a great place to go with a very solid economy, yes, they may have a lower inflation and more job opportunities. But if you add the daycare, the expensive daycare, or the very expensive rent, which in Argentina is a little more affordable, well, you have a situation in which you can really transfer your life standard. You know, you may have some positive things. Well, everything, like everything, no?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think there are a lot of positive things about living in the U.S., and I don't want to take those things for granted.
No, of course.
But I think after living in Argentina, I just feel the culture and the style of living is just a little bit more my taste.
Yeah, yes.
But, you know, I think also just one other thing that I wanted to say is I made friends with this Argentinian woman, and she has a family, and so our kids are around the same age. And we were talking about the differences between Argentina and the U.S., right? And I think something that people don't really know about is how unsafe it is in the U.S., just the crime rates. Like, these aren't things that you see in the news, right? You have to know where to find that information. Washington, D.C. is very dangerous in my perspective at this time.
How dangerous? People think that Buenos Aires is dangerous. Many people who flee Argentina, they do it because of security. I can walk without being mugged in the street, many Argentines say, when they move to Spain, for example.
So I think, one, now you're starting to see, like, motochorros, no? Like, people who rob people on motorcycles, you're starting to see that in New York City.
Really?
In Washington, D.C., there's a lot of gun violence. A lot of gun violence. I just saw that a group of people,
like robbery related, or just people fighting each other with guns?
No, there's car robberies. There's carjackings all the time. There was this one woman who had her car stolen twice from a private parking garage at her apartment building. There was a woman, and these are just things that I read online, right? There was another case of a woman who had her mother in the car. She parked outside of a hospital to go inside to the hospital to get a wheelchair. Some woman stole the car with the mother in the car, crashed, and the mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of violence in Washington, D.C., and in a lot of the major cities now. And I think that's something that people don't see, especially outside of the U.S. And so I was talking to this Argentinian woman, and we were talking about the differences in terms of, like, security, right, in Argentina and the U.S. And obviously it depends where you are. In certain parts of Argentina, it is more dangerous, right? But generally, I think the one thing we came up with is Argentina is more insecure in terms of maybe getting your phone stolen, right? Like, maybe somebody breaking into your apartment when you're not there type of thing. the U.S. is dangerous.
Okay.
You don't know who has a gun, number one.
Of course. That's a key difference.
You don't know who has a gun. I think there's a really big problem with mental health. There's a really big problem with the homeless population at this time, right? Mm. I think these issues were exacerbated during COVID. And those combinations, and drugs, right? The access of drugs. You can find certain accounts where you can see places like Kensington, Pennsylvania, Skid Row in Los Angeles. If you look these places up, it's bad. These are people, they're just towns with people who are mentally ill, need help, access to drugs. Yeah. It's very dangerous, you know? Yeah.
Well, there are all kinds of situations everywhere. Yeah, but obviously from the outside, you just focus on what you're after mainly, you know, isn't it?
No, of course. But that's kind of why in my account I talk about those certain things, because I think it's important for people to know.
Yeah, of course.
Not everything that glitters is gold.
Exactly. Well, let's move to another subject that you master. We're going to switch now, folks, a little bit to Spanish, because I want Nicole to give a demonstration of how well she masters Argentine Spanish. Bueno, vamos a hablar un poquito en castellano, cara a cara, como si fuese mostrando lo que sos.
Dale, perfecto.
Ahí está. A ver, decime lo más porteño que te pueda salir ahora.
I know.
Muchas palabras con llave, con ye.
Ok. Ahora me puse nerviosa. Bueno, le cuento un poquito. Ayer estaba caminando por la calle, me pasé por el edificio anterior donde vivía, hablaba con el portero, nos saludamos, ¿viste?
Okay. That's enough for the demonstration. Later on, she'll be on the Spanish show. But I can tell you as an Argentine that she sounds... Like a local, not like an Argentine, like a porteño. And I want to know, because Rio Platense porteño, which is this type of Spanish that Nicole and I speak, is very particular, and it's got that sh sound for the Y and the double L. How long it took you to master the porteño Spanish? Was it from hearing other people? You paid extra attention? Because I've known a lot of people, a lot of expats who lived here for a long time, and they do not speak the Rio Platense Spanish you do. Like, you really looked for it, huh?
Oh my God, I'm flattered. So I think having grown up, I had a babysitter. She was from Puerto Rico, right? And they spoke Spanish in the home. And I think that helped. Being around that, not that I was really speaking Spanish at that time. And when I came to Argentina, I thought I knew more Spanish than I did. And I was very surprised when I couldn't communicate at all. So I think growing up there, that helped me like have the ability to adapt to the language. But I think just wanting to, right? Like I always wanted to learn Spanish, because growing up with them, I was like, oh my God, I want to learn Spanish. So it was always my number one objective. I think also having a husband who's Argentinian and we only spoke Spanish.
Of course.
That obviously was huge in helping. But I think in perfecting it, for me, like my number one tip is just don't be nervous, right? Don't be scared. I say things wrong all the time. Yeah, sometimes I'm just guessing words, and when nobody corrects me, I say, oh, that was right. No? So I think...
That's a great tip, yeah.
Yeah, so I
it
just...
It applies for everything, not just for learning language. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Otherwise, how can you learn?
Right. And so I think that's been my biggest thing. Like, I just don't really focus on, am I saying this right or wrong? Because people usually correct me, or they don't, and then they laugh, and I'm like, okay. So, but no, I feel very grateful, because it feels very good. Especially being in the U.S., people are like, oh, you're Argentinian? And I'm like, yes.
Yes,
I am.
I made it.
I made it.
And speaking of that, you've also become an Argentine citizen.
Yes.
How was that? I mean, I never asked somebody how is it to become an Argentine. Is it a difficult process? Does it take long?
Oh my gosh, I'm like tearing up just because it was so special for me to be able to kind of like... have full circle moment, no? Be in Argentina, love Argentina, really feel part of the culture, and then to get citizenship and be like, it's real, no? The process, so we started during the pandemic, like towards the end of the pandemic.
You were already married to your Argentine husband.
Yeah. Yes. So I got my permanent residency in 2018, and then I think we started applying 2021, end of 2021, I think the rule is you have to be a permanent citizen for, or permanent resident for like 2 years, mm-hmm. and then you can apply for citizenship.
2 years of residency, and then you can apply for citizenship.
I think, to be honest, my husband did everything for me with this, so I let him do all the paperwork. But I know I needed, obviously, you know, background check, all of those sort of papers that you need, birth certificate, all that. But I think what was kind of surprising was when I applied for my citizenship, I had to go to a local newspaper of the judge's choosing, which was Página 12, and I had to put like an announcement that I was applying for citizenship. So I guess at that point, if somebody wanted to contest me applying, they could tell them I shouldn't become a citizen for XYZ reason. And then once that happened, then it moved forward from there. I got my letter of citizenship during the World Cup time. So that was really exciting.
Oh, wow. That's extra emotional.
Yes. And then we were at that point we knew we were leaving, and we were trying to figure out when I could do like the ceremony to swear in my citizenship, right? To sign everything and do everything else. And so we were pushing. And then we ended up getting the day after the World Cup to swear.
After which day of the World Cup?
The final.
Amazing.
So I said, okay, this is either going to be a really good day or a really bad day.
This is fate.
No, it was fate. And so when we won the World Cup, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Yeah, so I went the next day, had my the jersey on, right? And did the whole...
What do you do? You sign a paper?
Yeah, they made me sign a paper, and then they said, okay, do you want to do the special act? Because it wasn't really... I was kind of hoping for a little bit more, you know, but they just asked me if I... my gosh, and I don't know how to say it in English. Okay, I'll tell you in Spanish, and then you can translate. Me preguntaron jurar mi lealtad al país y eso.
Yeah. So you swear your loyalty. You promise to be loyal to the country, your fealty to the country, yes.
Yes, but honestly, it was only a few minutes. So I was hoping for a little bit more, but that's okay. I got my video and it was good. And I'm excited.
Now it's me who's flattered. And I always share stories like this with my fellow Argentines, especially those who sometimes feel very disappointed with the situations this country put you through in terms of the economy. But there are lots of people that appreciate and value not the economic things of the country, maybe, but other things, to the point of becoming a citizen like Nicole just did. Well, this is amazing. We could talk for hours because this is so great. But before wrapping this up and inviting you to a next interview when you next return to your home country, I'd like to ask you what you're doing now back in the US. What's your occupation?
Thank you for asking. Nobody ever asks me this. Because I have my content. I don't make any money off of it, honestly.
Of course, you obviously have an occupation there. You send your kids to daycare, meaning that you have a job.
Yes, so I work in events, and so I do the organization and logistics of events.
What kind of events? Congresses, conferences?
No, at this time I am doing sort of how would I describe it? They're like panel events.
Okay.
And so I work for, right now I work for a company, a newspaper, a political newspaper in the US.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually called Politico.
I heard about it. Yeah, of
course. So I work there doing events.
Oh,
so
great. You organize. So what's your background?
My background is international relations. So
perfect. Bilingual, binational. Well, random question to wrap this up. What's best, Christmas in winter or Christmas in summer?
Oof. Oh, my God. Okay. I think they both have their magic, but now if I have to choose, I will have to go for Christmas in summer.
In summer? Yeah. I mean, wearing trunks by the pool?
Well, no, you know what? I just really love the food. Like, I love, it's hot, you got vitel toné, no, lengua la vinagreta.
Yeah, typical, those are typical Christmas dishes, the ones that Nicolás described. But still, many people still have here very high caloric foods because they, I don't know, they took that from northern culture and they have like nuts and things that you shouldn't have with 30 degrees plus Celsius.
No, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's the magic of it, you know? And being with family, like, yeah, so.
Great. Well, that was Nicole Felter. You can check her content out mainly in Spanish on Instagram and TikTok, Yankee en Argentina. Well, thank you for coming, Nicole. All the best. And thank you for taking the time for coming to the studio.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having me.
The next one, Mil Horas, 1,000 Hours. Why?
You know, I went to this Argentine festival in Virginia, and I saw there was this group that sang that song, and then me and my son, we fell in love with it. So
with the track, yeah.
So that's.
So you recently know? You didn't listen to the song while you were here.
No, you know, I didn't get into national rock until I moved to the U.S.
Typical Argentine. They start valuing tango when they move abroad, and they start valuing national rock when they go outside Argentina. Well, Nicole picked a huge classic of Argentine rock, Mil Horas, 1,000 Hours by Los Abuelos de la Nada. Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks.
Hace frío y estoy lejos de casa. Hace tiempo que estoy sentado sobre esta piedra. Yo me pregunto, ¿para qué sirven las guerras? Tengo un cohete en el pantalón. Vos estás tan fría como la nieve a mi alrededor. Vos estás tan blanca y yo no sé qué hacer. La otra noche te esperé bajo la lluvia 2 horas, 1,000 horas, como un perro. Y cuando llegaste me miraste y me dijiste, loco, estás mojado, ya no te quiero. En el circo vos ya sos una estrella. Una estrella roja que todo se lo imagina. Si te preguntan, vos no me conocías. No, no, le tengo un cohete en el pantalón. Vos estás tan fría como la nieve a mi alrededor. Vos estás tan blanca que ya no sé qué hacer.
Music before signing off, and there was something missing on today's program, folk music. Let's write that wrong. Let's fill that space with this track by Los Nocheros, Chacarera del Rancho, the Chacarera song of the hut.
Señor, claro que sí, claro sí puede. medio chico en mi rancho, tal vez para los dos, para los dos. Ya me estoy haciendo cerquita al salado, uno mejor, uno mejor. Cuando chacarera comienzo a cantar, para de ser, la chacarera del rancho, señor. Un alero especial para bailar, para cantar, para darme el gusto y allí milanear de Navidad a Carnaval. Chacareras comienzo a cantar, cuál ha de ser, la chacarera del rancho, señor. Claro que sí, claro sí fue.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE Argentina al mondo.
RAE Argentinien in die Welt.
RAE Argentina al mondo.
And let's go over the headlines again before signing off. The government of Javier Milei congratulated Trump on his inauguration and reaffirmed its alignment with Washington. Panama's president rejected Trump's announcement about reclaiming the canal. The Colombian government declared an emergency over guerrilla violence in Catatumbo with over 100 dead. Argentina's trade surplus in 2024 was the highest in history, according to official figures. Sports. Costa Rican Keylor Navas joins the Argentine Football Championship. And this marks the end of today's program of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, the international service of the Argentine Radio, for Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. Our sound technician was Leo Girau, and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. This show airs on the shortwaves of WRMI, frequency 5850 kHz, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar, as well as our app for mobile devices, Digital RAE, that you can get for free for both Android and Apple phones. Thank you for listening. Join us tomorrow on a new show of RAE Argentina to the World. Ciao.